Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. First Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know, and let's finish on verse 5 together, ready? For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place. Father, thank you that we get to be a part of it. God, we stand before you needy. We're still a sinful people. Lord, we got to have your message from your man tonight. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I told you this morning that tonight's sermon title is Temper, Temper, Temper. We were reading earlier from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse number 5, about halfway through the verse, it says, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. I want you to notice something. The Satan is the tempter. But notice that the word tempter and temper, there's only one letter difference in the two. And you can be sure that one of the areas where the tempter is going to tempt you is in the area of your temper. Oh my. What in the world do Cain, Moses, David, Jonah, as well as Jesus have in common? Well, according to the Bible, they all experienced anger. Cain experienced anger. Moses experienced. David did. And Jonah did. Cain became angry with his brother. So angry, he murdered him. Moses became angry and broke the two stones table, the tablets on which God had written his Ten Commandments. Moses had come down off the mountain, found the people having a party and doing wrong, and Moses became angry. David became angry when Nathan the prophet told him the story of a rich man that had stole a poor man's lamb. The story was actually about David, but he became angry. Jonah became angry when Nineveh experienced a revival that Jonah thought that they would reject. Jonah thought that Nineveh would reject this revival and that God would discipline them, and they did not reject it, and he virtually got mad because God did not have the chance to punish them. Even Jesus became angry when businessmen took advantage of the church and sold their wares, making merchandise of the people. Anger is an emotion that we all have to deal with. Anger can be good, or anger can be bad. I'll show you a little something. A little boy had a temper. And he knew that he needed to get it under control, and his parents knew that he needed to get it under control. So his dad gave him one day a hammer. Dad said, son, I've got a hammer for you, and I've got some nails, just like the nails that I have in my hands here. Dad said, son, every time you lose your temper, I want you to take one of those nails and I want you to go out to the fence and I want you to drive a nail in the fence. Brother Joe, if you'll get me that fence right there. Piece of fence. And Dad said, every time you lose your temper, I want you to go out, take a nail, and put it into that fence. Every day, every time. Well, the first day, that boy drove nail after nail into the fence. He had nail after nail because he had lost his temper over and over and over again. The first day, 30 nails went into that old piece of fence. Dad came out and said, "Son, look at all those nails. Your day was full of rage. Your day was full of temper. Your day was full of a lack of self-control." Dad said, "Now you need to improve on that." The next day, he drove fewer nails. The next day, fewer nails. Finally, he learned some self-control. Finally, he learned how to control his temper. Dad said, "Son, for every day that you can control your temper all day long, why don't you pull out a nail?" So a day came, no temper. He withdrew a nail. Another day, he successfully made it through the day without losing his temper. He took out another nail. Day after day, the boy was able to retract, take the nails out of that fence. Finally, one day, his dad went out and said, "Son, there are no nails at all left in the fence." But the boy said, "Dad, look at all the holes." And the dad said, "Oh, that's right, son. You can drive your angry words through someone, apologize and pull them out, but still put a hole in them. That old fence will never be the same. It's weakened. You can drive a man, you can drive a knife into a man's back, and then apologize, but he'll have a scar when you're done with him." And Dad said, "Son, you want to make sure you don't spend the rest of your life with your rage and your anger, because you're not only destroying yourself, you're destroying other people." And folks, that's what temper does to us. When we misuse this thing of anger and temper, we poke a hole in the relationships of life. We ought to be careful that we don't ruin someone or some relationship because we can't control our temper. What I'm going to say tonight is going to come by way of teaching. I don't think I'll be real bombastic, but I'm going to tell you some things about temper, about anger. If you'll listen, they'll help you. What is anger? The dictionary says that anger is a strong feeling of displeasure aroused by a real or a supposed wrong. Anger is a very strong emotion. If anger is allowed to continue unchecked and uncontrolled, it can destroy the angry person as well as the anger's object. You know, medical studies show that anger can cause physical illness. Anger is not bad if it's controlled right. God gave us the emotion of anger. But see, anger is a bit like a fire. When fire is used correctly, it will warm us. When used correctly, a fire could help us. When controlled, a fire can be productive. When left to itself, though, a small fire can become a raging inferno. When not controlled, a fire can destroy the good and the bad. I wonder how many people will do without doing something for God because they just can't control their temper. They can't control their anger. Folks, we were created in God's image. God even demonstrates anger at times. The Bible teaches that. However, the anger demonstrated by God is always righteous anger. It's always proper anger. Too often, our anger is out of control and it produces bad results. When we mix anger with pride, greed, envy, revenge, hate, or pettiness, it becomes deadly. It's possible to be angry and sin not. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. So it's possible to be angry and not sin. Hey, let's make sure that we practice constructive anger opposed to destructive anger. I heard a story about a wife that learned how to control her anger. Husband said, "Well, when I'm mad at you, you never fight back." she said to her husband, the husband said to the wife, said, when I'm mad at you, honey, you never fight back. You never fight back. How do you control your anger? She said, well, when I get angry, I just go clean the toilet bowl. He said, so how does that control your temper? She said, I do it with your toothbrush. Probably just gave some of you some real bad ideas, right? There are different kinds of anger. Let me see if I can talk to you about them scripturally. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Notice there are two words here in this one verse, the word anger and the word wrath. The word anger is a word that it's an inward anger. It's an anger that is slow growing, and it usually leads to planned revenge. It's actually a Greek word, O-R-G-E, orge. It means a slow burning rage. The Greek word for wrath, now that's the word anger. The Greek word for wrath is thumos, T-H-U-M-S. It means a sudden outburst of anger. There is what we might call holy and unholy anger. Many Christians have a hard time believing that any anger could be holy, but it could be because God Himself chose to be angry at times. So there is such thing as holy or righteous anger. Now, with this being the case, and we know that our God is perfect and holy, His anger then was a holy anger. Let me talk to you about holy anger for a moment. Holy anger would be towards sin. You say, Brother Owens, you know, if people shouldn't lose their temper, why do you preach the way you do? Well, I'm angry at sin. I'm supposed to be angry at sin. When you read the verses that refer to God's anger, they always have to do with sin. Psalm 97, verse 10, it says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. If we truly love the Lord, we'll hate the sin that hurts Him, His church, or His people. So you see, holy anger would be toward sin. Holy anger is then controlled by God. If your anger is not under God's, if it's not under God's complete control, then it's not holy anger. You see, if it's out of your control, then it's definitely out of God's control. Holy anger is an anger that is controlled by God. Holy anger is an anger that is angry at sin. Holy anger is for people, not at people. Right. Holy anger is for people, not at people. Holy anger wants to build people up, not tear people down. Holy anger is not controlled by pride, but it's controlled by humility. Holy anger becomes a tool for construction, not destruction. Holy anger is motivated by love, not by hate. When I correct somebody that misbehaves in church, it's not because I hate them, it's because I love them. I'm trying to make the church service constructive, keeping them from being destructive during the church service. That's what it's all about. Holy anger is to help, not to hurt. So you see, holy anger would be towards sin. Holy anger is controlled by God. Holy anger is for people, not at people. And holy anger produces righteousness, not unrighteousness. Now, talk about unholy anger for a minute. If we harbor unholy anger, it will affect our prayer life. People who are angry in the wrong way usually don't have the kind of prayer life they need to have. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, now there's a prayer, lifting up holy hands without wrath. The Bible's teaching there that we are to pray everywhere, but a presence of prayer is going to drive wrath out of the life. So you say, I've got a bad temper. You need more time in prayer. You need more time in prayer. Holy anger causes us to want to share our problems with God in prayer and get His help. Unholy anger, we take problems out on people. Unholy anger will affect our service to God. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Here God said, you and I need to be slow to wrath. Notice the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When we are nursing our hurts and our selfish anger, we put ourselves on a shelf in regard to serving God. Angry people don't get used like they ought to be used by God. Angry people don't get as much done for God. You can't do it. You can't take somebody that's angry all the time and put them in leadership. They'll tear the church apart. You just don't know when they're going to lose it and snap at somebody and make things worse. Hey, we're supposed to make things better. We're supposed to make things better. Hey, for no other reason, some of us need to learn to control our anger so we can be used of God and do righteousness more so. Does your anger cripple your service to God? Holy anger causes... let me go back to holy anger for a minute. Holy anger will cause us to want to serve. Unholy anger is very selfish. We're not out to tear down, we're out to build up. Holy anger creates a desire for us to love. Now let me talk to you about so what do you do about this? I mean, we see that there's anger and there's wrath. And we see that there's different kinds of anger. We see that what happens is holy anger would be towards sin. It's easy to see that it's to be controlled by God and it's for people, not at people, and it'll work righteousness in our life. But what can we do to control it? How can we control our anger? Remember, God's the one that gives us this emotion called anger. It's for our good, not for our own self-destruction. Anger is extremely powerful. Out of control, it becomes deadly. So let me tell you what you do to help control your anger. And there's some of you, you need to get the CD that I'm teaching tonight. You need to listen to it over and over and over and over again. You need to memorize the verses that I give you tonight. And you need to practice what God said to help you to get your anger under control. So it is holy anger and not unholy anger. So it is constructive anger and not destructive anger. So it is at sin, not at people. You know, I can correct somebody and I can use the tool of anger and love them every moment I'm doing it. Now, you have a hard time believing that. You just think, and I'll tell you why. When you get angry, yours is an attack. And you can't imagine someone having their anger under control to the point that they love you and they're just using anger as a tool to help. You see, you judge me on the basis of how you behave when you lose your temper. But you have to understand something. Not everybody's anger is out to hurt. It's not out to attack. It's not out for revenge. Now listen, what do we do? How can we control our anger? First of all, to control your anger, you're going to have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." See, God's Holy Spirit can teach us self-control. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, control in our life increases incredibly. Let me say to all the leaders in this church, you just watch when you start losing your temper. Just ask yourself that moment, am I filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Just check up. Just check when there are two people going at each other in the church. You say, what should I check on? Just check on, see how submissive they are to the Holy Spirit at the moment. Listen, the Holy Spirit produces more control, not less. More control, not less. A church service where the Holy Spirit is present is under control more, not less. Our charismatic friends that think when the Holy Spirit's in control, everything's just going to go wild and bonkers and zonkers, that's crazy. When the Holy Spirit is in control, there is control in the service. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32 and 33 says, "And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion." God doesn't want confusion. When the Holy Spirit is in control, things are done in a controlled fashion. So, if you want to get control of your anger, you've got to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit. Secondly, to control your anger, you need to be honest. I'll read a couple verses to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 21 and 22, it says this, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Here the Bible says being angry without a cause. Note without a cause. God's concerned that you and I as human beings have a tendency to get angry without a cause. What does it mean? So often our anger is unwarranted. We become enraged over some imagined wrong. We assume something happened. We're ready to fight. We don't even know what's happened. Think about it for a second. You analyze you for a second. We get angry with someone and it's, boy, oh, get them. You didn't even take the time to figure out what happened. Was it an accident? Did they have any idea? Oh, but we're ready to fight. Anger, rage, assumed rage. Assumed anger. And that's what the Lord said. The Bible said, it's been said, you're not to kill. You're going to be judged for killing. Jesus came along and said, you better stop losing your temper with people and not have a warranted reason for losing your temper. God was comparing that to murder.
Yes, sir.
You see, God tells us here to evaluate our feelings very, very carefully. Is your act of anger even necessary? We need to stop and pray and ask God to help us to be honest with ourselves. Could it be your fault? Could it be your fault? To control your anger, you need to be honest. That means you stop and you gather all the facts before you tear into somebody. What? That's the only thing an honest person would do. An honest person doesn't go off the end of their handle and tear into somebody. Not an honest person. You know what they do? They calmly gather all the facts. So they can make sure that if there has been an infraction, it truly happened. Think of how many people we hurt when we don't gather the facts. We're dishonest about it. We don't know for sure what happened. So, to control your anger, you must yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. To control your anger, you need to be willing to be honest and gather what truly happened. Thirdly, to control your anger, you need to be humble. Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Now here's what it's saying. It's saying if somebody has done something to you, and you're getting ready to go to the altar and offer a gift to God, why don't you leave the altar and try to go fix it up with that person that's done something to you? That's called humility. You say, well, they'll come apologize to me. That's not what it said. It said there's a problem between you and someone, and it probably they're even the cause. But because you love people so much, and because you're such a kind, gentle person, you would like to go fix that even though you may not be wrong. That's called humility. That's called good Christianity. You see, it takes humility to hinder the wrong kind of temper. The wrong kind of anger. Arrogance exalts anger. Some of your most angry people are arrogant people. Full of pride. Watch them. I was thinking of someone. I don't want to embarrass her. Mrs. Debbie Bush. One of the most humble women you'll ever meet in your life.
Yes, sir.
And I have never seen her out of sorts. I've never seen her anger out of control, ever. And I've known her, I'm sure, for 20 years. Ever. But she's humble. She's not cocky. She's not arrogant. She's not full of pride. Life's not all about her. This is how I see it. Yeah? And if you're not careful, you're going to be a person of rage. You'll be attacking the teachers in the school. You'll be attacking the youth workers and the pastor and everybody else. Because when it happens, it's everybody else's fault. It's not your child's fault. It's not your fault. It's got to be somebody else. We deal with it all the time. You see, if you're going to control your anger, you better get yourself yielded to the Holy Spirit. If you're going to control your anger, you need to be honest. And honesty means you better figure out everything that's taken place before you try to rip somebody's head off and make a scene. If you're going to control your temper, it's going to take humility. You're going to have to be humble, not arrogant. And if you're going to control your temper, you've got to control your tongue. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You know, conversations are like little fires. The more fuel you put on them, the bigger the blaze. Nothing cools a person's fiery temper faster than a calm, quiet tongue. You know what it says here? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, it takes two people to have an argument. Soft answers. God said, let's learn soft answers. Soft in volume. Soft in love. Soft in humility. Soft in control. You see, God is telling us that we should not be stirring up anger the way we handle ourselves. So, if we're going to control our anger, we need Holy Spirit control. If we're going to control our anger, we need to learn to be honest and gather all the facts before we go into our rage. If we're going to control our anger, we need to be humble. And the situation's not all about you. It's just all about everybody, just getting everybody involved. And if you're going to control your anger, you're going to have to learn to control your tongue. If you're going to control your anger, you're going to have to remind yourself of anger's consequences. Look ahead and realize what your anger may cost you. Another repair bill with your fist through the drywall. Another wrecked car because you drove in rage. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. People that can't control themselves and they're people of rage and anger, they will be punished. Not by me, but by God. Your life won't be what it could have been. You'll be a loser in life because of your anger. It says, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You know what happens? People that won't get their anger under control, they just create problem after problem after problem. The pastor can solve it between you and someone, and the pastor has to solve it later on between you and someone, and later on the pastor has to solve the problem between you and someone again, and 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 you and someone again. Don't you think it's time that stop? All these people that I can't get along with, what's wrong with them? Funny, you're the common denominator. See, to control your anger, you better look at anger's consequences. Out of control anger will hurt you, but it'll hurt others. Don't say what you're going to regret later. Get it under control so you don't cause more pain in relationships. You see all those holes? You say, well, people heal. They sure do, but they scar up pretty bad too. Don't scar up every relationship in life. You see, but I wasn't reared in a situation where I sought to control my anger. You're being taught now. You're being taught right now. To control your anger, you're going to need to develop a proper attitude toward anger. Proverbs 19, verse number 11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. We're to use discretion when determining when to become angry. That is the difference between holy and unholy anger. Unholy anger is where you go into a rage and you start tearing things up and people up. There's no thought. There's no gathering of facts. There's no purpose behind it. It's full of pride. It's full of revenge. It's not out to help. It's out to hurt. It's out to defend myself. Because if I don't, nobody will. Well, yeah, sure, somebody will. I'll defend you if you're right. Where do you get off thinking nobody will defend you? You think you're the only person in the world that understands something about judgment? You think everybody else is an idiot? No, they're not. See, to control your anger, you've got to get this right attitude toward anger. The Bible says we're to use discretion when determining when to become angry. It says here to defer. That means to put it off. What's it mean? You better put your anger off and put a delay on it on purpose. Why? Because when you lose it, you're going to hurt somebody. It's a very good idea when you're angry to say, I need to step out of the room for a minute. Get her under control. I know there are many times when I'm watching something happen, I say, I'm going to my office. anger drains us physically, mentally, and emotionally. People that go into rages and fits all the time, you'll wear your body out. You get big angry over stupid little things. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding." You know what? Slow to wrath equals great understanding. Quick to wrath means little understanding. In the book of Owens chapter 2, that means slow to wrath is great understanding. Quick to wrath means idiot. That's in Owens chapter 2. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Uncontrolled anger can hurt you more than it'll hurt the people you're angry with. Stop and think. Did they intend to hurt me? You know, it takes character to control your temper. Proverbs 16:32 says that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh his city. You know, it takes more character to control your anger than it takes for an army to defeat a city. We need to learn to get control of ourselves. One of the greatest things for you to conquer in life is you. It's you. You need to conquer you. I'll conquer that person or this person. Well, you just conquer you. You got your hands full. What do we do? Well, if we're going to control our anger, we need to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. We need to be honest. We need to be humble. We need to control our tongue. We need to recognize anger's consequences. We need to get the right attitude toward anger. And then, if you want to control your anger, you need to learn to be a forgiver. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you, you have bad temper problems. But you know what? You get angry at me. I've had people in this building angry at me. But you know, this is one of the reasons why I love you. Because I don't really think you're angry with me. I think you're angry with somebody in the past that hurt you. And you've never forgiven them. And you take it out on everybody else. You're mean to your kids because you won't forgive your dad. You're mean to your husband because you won't forgive your mom. You've got this rage and anger built up inside you. It's easy for me to forgive you when you're angry with me because I look at your life and I think, I don't really think she's mad at me. Now she could stab me over and over again with that knife of criticism and anger and temper and hatred. But the truth is, while I'm standing there bleeding, I'm feeling for you and loving you and thinking, you know, I really don't think this is all about me because I didn't even do anything to you. I'm standing there and then, whoa, and I mean, it's like it's the biggest deal in the whole wide world. And I'm not even sure what happened, but I'm just taking the hits and I'm thinking, man. But I look back and I think, your problem's way down deep inside you, honey. You're mad at somebody every time you turn around anyway. You all out there? You see, we've got to be forgivers. If someone does something that hurts you and you want to respond in anger, hey, could I recommend you go to the cross and see how much God's forgiven you? Hey, if you're going to control your anger, you better let God be the judge in life. Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Only God has the ability to judge perfectly and fairly. Only God sees all and knows all. There are people in here, you didn't see it happen, but you're angry about it. You don't have any idea if it happened. But you're angry about it. You'll get them. You know, God's going, hey, if you saw it, fine. If you didn't see it, why are you so angry? Let God take care of it then. Are you mad because you're not God? You don't get to see all and know all? We're to leave retribution to God. Get this. We're to love those that hurt us. Romans 12, verse 20 and 21 says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." He said, "Well, I'll be good to him, that I'll get him. Let God pour those hot coals." That's really not even the attitude you're supposed to have. You're to be good to them because God told you to be good to them. And if God chooses to do something to them, that's up to him. If you walk around saying, "I'll be good to you so God can sap your hide," That's not what God's looking for in your Christianity. Funny how we can take a scripture and interpret it into evil and mad and nasty, and that's not what God means. It's where living by faith comes in. Having faith that the person who hurt you will be dealt with by God. By God. By God. You know something? I'm not going to eat up all my emotional life being mad at everybody. I've got too much to do. So, well, preacher, don't you want somebody to get him back? It doesn't matter to me. That's up to God. I'll let God take care of it. Anger. Temper. 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 If we're going to control our temper, what do? We've got to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. We've got to. If we're going to be in control of our temper, we've got to be honest. And honesty means we gather the facts. We figure out truly what happened. Most of the time, by then, you're going to calm down and be a mature adult about it. What do we do if we're going to control our temper? We're going to need to be humble. It's not all about me. We're going to be humble. If we're going to learn to control our temper, we're going to have to control our tongue, because a soft answer turneth away wrath. If we're going to control our anger, we're going to have to look at anger's consequences. And God said, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. If we're going to control our temper, we need to develop a proper attitude toward anger, where the Bible says the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. To control your anger, you've got to be a forgiver. To control your anger, you've got to let God be the judge. And I'll promise you, if we practice those things, we can live and we can have holy anger when it's needed. What's that for? If it's sin, not people.
Right.
It's to build up, not to tear down. Hey, you children, you say, my dad lost it with me. I think there are times when your dad's going to lose it with you, and it's holy anger. I think there'll be a time when your dad will raise his voice, and your dad's going to be a little tough on you. Why? He loves you. He's trying to build you up. He's trying to help you. Some of you, so many in here, you work for a boss. I think there's a way for the boss to get a little, I'll use the word, ticked off at you and tell you what it's all about. But it doesn't mean he's trying to destroy you. And bosses, if you do lose your temper a little bit, it ought to be for the good of the person that you're helping. Not because you're going to get them. You're out of control. Somebody abused you one day, years ago, and you're going to take it out on all creation for the rest of your life. You're going to destroy marriage after marriage after marriage, all your kids and all your friendships and all your family, because you just can't forgive. So many times. And those of you that are in leadership, when you get these pistols that just can't control themselves, why don't you stop and realize, so many times, they're not angry with you, and you know what you're thinking. What did I do to deserve that? Now they're just angry and they can't forgive, and it's bottled up in bitterness inside them, and they're taking it out on you and everybody else. Temper, temper, temper. The Lord said, be angry and sin not. Oh, how much something like this can help us if we'll let it. It'll help your home. It'll help your marriage. It'll help you in rearing your children. If we just make sure that when there's a little bit of temper involved in what we do, if it's just all about building up and not trying to destroy or tear down.